The disciples were in hiding. Their hopes and dreams were shattered. The Pharisees had forced the Romans to kill Jesus. He was the one person that held them together. They felt lost. They felt abandoned and alone. Their whole purpose of being together had been destroyed. For some reason, Thomas decides to leave. While he is gone, Jesus appears to the disciples. Poor Thomas picked a wrong time to leave. When he returns, he wants proof of what they saw. He wants to be sure that it is really Jesus and not just someone that looks like Jesus. He makes one little comment and he gets stuck with a nickname. But how many times did Peter deny Jesus? No one ever called him the denier. In fact, Jesus called him Peter Satan. Luckily for Peter, neither name stuck. This one incident, and he gets labeled Doubting Thomas, not for the rest of his life, but for all eternity. When Jesus appeared in the upper room, they did not know who he was. After all, they had just seen him crucified. They saw him placed in a tomb that was sealed with a huge rock. The last person they expected to see was Jesus. Thomas just put into words what the others were thinking. They recognized Jesus by his scars. We all have scars. Some we see, some we don't. I got my first scar when I was 5 years old. I had surgery due to a farming accident. And I still have some vivid memories of that day and the days that follow. So how about you? Do you remember your first scar? Sometimes we show off our scars and maybe even brag about how we got them. We say things like, I'll never do that again, or what was I thinking? Our scars are necessary. Scars teach us lessons. My scars taught me the dangers of farm equipment. We will never understand the why of most things in this life, especially why God allows pain and suffering that leaves scars. It's easy to believe in God when life is good, but when life is not good, that is when we really decide if we believe. On St. Patrick's Day, 2006, our first grandsons were born, Aiden and Patrick. They each weighed a little over 1 pound. They were too early. Aiden lived 5 days. Patrick lived till he was 4 years old. I asked God why they had to die. Why did this have to happen to me? What did I do to deserve this? As I searched for answers, I came up with 3 possibilities. 1, God was not powerful enough to stop what happened. I eliminated this because I believe that God is all-powerful, and he could have stopped it if he wanted to. 2, since God is all-powerful, he just did not care enough to stop it. I ruled this out also because I believe in a God of grace, a God of love, and a God of second chances. So that leaves 3. God allowed it to happen because he had some greater purpose. Their birth and death was the beginning of my journey to be here before you today. I surrendered my doubts, my fears, and my pain to God. I allowed the divine healer, the great physician, the divine surgeon to heal my broken heart, to heal my scars. This is God's greater purpose for me. Unlike physical scars, emotional scars do not heal automatically. We have to ask Jesus for healing. Healing is a process. Physical wounds will not heal until they are thoroughly cleansed. Our cleansing of emotional wounds begins with prayer. We ask God for the strength to forgive. Until we accept God's forgiveness, forgive ourselves, and forgive the person who hurt us, healing will not take place. Physical wounds and emotional wounds run the risk of infection. Infection can spread quickly throughout our lives, poisoning our faith and our relationship with God and each other. This infection causes more hurt, more pain. The world wants us to stay focused on our own hurts and pains. As long as we focus on ourselves, we prevent healing. The disciples deserted Jesus and denied him, and even after hearing of his resurrection, they hid. We hide because of fear, because of shame over our misdeeds, or embarrassment at our failures. We hide when we are wounded or afraid, or even worse, when we have caused someone else to be wounded or afraid. When misery overwhelms hope, when faith becomes doubt, when fear replaces courage, when loneliness consumes us, God finds us and comes to us wherever we are. Jesus sought out the disciples. When he appeared to them, he forgave them. His first words were, "Peace be with you." This greeting was a gift of healing. It restored their relationship with God. We may not recognize him at first, but he does come to us. Jesus comes to us over and over again. It may be in the kind deed of a stranger, in words of encouragement from a friend, or a friendly smile from the person sitting next to you. Just as God breathed life into Adam, Jesus breathed new life into the disciples. Jesus transformed the disciples. They came out from fear, out from failure and doubt, out from behind closed doors. They were no longer followers, but active participants in Jesus' mission. We receive that same spirit. We receive that same forgiveness. Jesus has breathed new life into each one of us. We are to leave behind our fears, our doubts, and embarrassments and begin a new life. We are to become active participants in Jesus' mission. We are called to give of ourselves. Each one of us must ask the question, what part of my time and talent am I giving to God? What part of my gifts am I giving to God's people? We all have gifts, and most of the time, we keep them hidden. Because using our gifts means getting out of our comfort zone, getting out of our box. It means doing something different. When we refuse to get out of our box, we are putting God in a box. We are limiting what God can do. I could have stayed in my little box. I could have kept being a pew warmer, but I decided to take a chance on God. Yes, I make mistakes. I do embarrass myself, but it's not about me. It's about Jesus Christ. It's about healing our brokenness. When we give of ourselves to others, we heal. God knows what we need. He knows our hurts and our sorrows. He sees our broken relationships and our unforgiven hurts. God sees our scars. Our hurts, our sorrows, our scars are not who we are. There is no resurrection without the crucifixion. There's no joy without sorrow. There's no success without failures. There's no happiness without suffering. Surrender your hurts, your pains, your failures, your unhappiness. Give them to God. Leave them here at the foot of the altar and do not pick them up on your way home. Healing is a process, and any process takes time. Healing takes prayer, forgiveness, and surrender. Let God do what God does. Invite Him in. Let Him heal you.